Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter number 18, John chapter 18. We are going to get a glimpse of that this morning as we continue through the Gospel of John. And I'm speaking of the love of God. In John chapter 18, we are continuing and nearing the end of this chapter, and much happens and takes place here. And at the beginning of this chapter, we saw Jesus Christ, who was betrayed by Judas, and was betrayed in a spectacular way because everybody was thrown back to the ground, and then they got back up, and Jesus, for the second time, who says, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." They should have said, "Jesus, the Son of God," because that's what He was. And then they bound Him and they led Him away, and He did this voluntarily and willingly. Nobody was taking Him. He was offering Himself. And we see that we looked at really a parallel last week between Jesus Christ and Peter, and how there's a contrast here. We see Jesus, Peter, who was free, but yet we see his weakness revealed. And yet Jesus was bound, and we see Him in great strength. And we learn some valuable lessons here. But we'll come now to verse 28 of John chapter 18. And notice the Bible says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto him, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one that at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cry they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I want to draw our attention this morning to three questions. There are many more questions, but notice those three questions. In verse 29, Pilate then went out unto them, the Jews, and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? Then notice verse 35. Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And then the third question, verse 38. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? I want to focus as we go through this passage on these three questions. What accusation? What hast thou done? And what is truth? These are good questions. We're going to answer them this morning. And I'm going to give you the title at the end. So I'm sorry if I'm going to mess up your notes this morning. If you start up at the top with the, I'll give it to you at the end. But here as we pick up in verse 28, really much has taken place as Jesus Christ has appeared before Caiaphas. We know a few things that happened if we would go to some of the parallel passages in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark 14 and Luke chapter 22. But basically, to sum it up, after Jesus Christ had left there Annas, he was sent to Caiaphas, and to Caiaphas they were trying to bring false accusation against him. And it took them a while to finally find two people who gave a witness and brought false accusation against Jesus Christ. And to me, I'm thinking, well, what if, can you find somebody that was healed or somebody that was that heard what he said? But they found false accusers so that they could get him, so that they could falsely accuse him. May I say that this was the fulfillment of prophecy. Because as Jesus Christ went first to Annas and then to Caiaphas, then now they bring him to Pilate. And Jesus Christ said that would happen himself in Mark chapter 10, verse 33. The Bible says, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." All those things that were about to happen and had happened to Jesus Christ were prophesied. That Jesus Christ would first appear to the Jew and to the high priest. But then, after condemning him to death, they would deliver him to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what's happening right here. Because after he's been tried, he has been falsely accused, and he's been sentenced to death. That's what just happened before Caiaphas. Now they're going to bring him before Pilate. And so here these passages, parallel passages, record for us what took place as Christ appeared before Caiaphas. But here we are focusing on the Gospel of John. And really what we see out of this passage is I want to look at these questions that were asked by Pilate. And all three of them were by Pilate, by the way. Which is a fulfillment of a prophecy as appears before the Gentile ruler in that part of the world. But first of all, we see, number one, a question for the Jews. A question for the Jews. In verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, "Now, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." As we consider the question that was posed to the Jew from Pilate, I want us to see, first of all, the hypocrisy of the Jews is exposed there. The Bible says again here, begins verse 28, by "then." This was, again, following the decision of the council recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verse 1, which says this, "When the morning was come, and all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, and when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." The governor who was the one who had the authority to sentence a man to death. In Mark chapter 15, verse 1, "And straightway in the morning the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate." I think here we see here the "then," but we see early in the morning what was basically taking place is all those Jewish leaders were conspiring together. They were working very hard at putting Jesus to death. And I'm thinking here, just considering my own life, how hard does the world work and how hard do these people work to stand against the man who was perfect, and yet how often we are so easily to faint for doing the right things. They were so persistent and dedicated at doing the wrong thing, and perhaps more dedicated than many Christians are today in doing the right thing. But we see here this shows unto us the worthlessness of religion where it has failed to influence the heart. The Bible says in the passage, they went from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and they themselves, notice, went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be what? Defiled. These were very religious people. They taught the Word of God. They had a certain amount of standards in their lives. And it shows us again that a religion outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of truth and honesty, is worthless because it had failed to influence their own hearts. They're just sentencing men to death, by false accusation, by purposefully bringing two men who had evil and wicked and inaccurate testimony against Christ. And so they did this. They conspired against an innocent man to put him to death. But in here, as they bring him to the judgment hall, the Passover is about to come. Well, we can't go in the courtroom because we don't want to be defiled. You see, they didn't want to appear into a place on the outside, but yet their hearts was dark as the charred walls of hell. In Matthew 23, verse 27, the Bible tells us, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of an all uncleanness. Even so ye are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." And that verse perfectly illustrates for us exactly how Jesus Christ understood the scribes and the Pharisees in that day. Notice in verse 29, we go on and says, "Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man?" Now, this is the custom here for the Roman government. If anybody is going to be tried, there are three basic things that the Roman governor had to know. The first one is, first of all, there must be a specific indictment. You have to indict the man. What is the indictment? What is the accusation against that person? Number two, there must be the accuser before the accused. If, in other words, someone could not be accused and they're just bringing him to court, whoever was accusing the culprit had to be there to make the accusation. And number three, the accused is also granted liberty to answer for himself. These were the three basic rules that the Roman rule lived by. So Pilate here, by going, the Bible says he went unto them, would sense that this was an urgent matter. He had already given them Roman soldiers to capture this seeming offender. The Jews had come with a band of soldiers to take Jesus Christ. And so Pilate already knew that there was something going on. There was something that the Jews were stirred up about. And so he didn't know quite who it was. But yet he went out to meet them because he sensed that it was urgent. But here, notice the question is the basic question. What is the accusation? And by the way, this is valid for any court of law. What is the accusation? What is the crime? What is it that he has done? And their reply speaks volume in verse 30. They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." So they wanted Pilate to assume that they would never have arrested an innocent man. That's what they're playing on. You know, Luke chapter 23, verse 2 says, "And they began to accuse him, Pilate, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and boasting to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King." So notice they got so upset by this reply. He says, what is the accusation? A basic question that should have been answered. And their reply was, do you think we would bring you anybody that is not a malefactor? In other words, no evidence is presented. Nothing is listed. There is no list of accusation. There is no witness that stands before Pilate and say, this is what he's done. They began now to accuse Pilate himself and say, don't you think that we would bring you somebody that is evil? He's a malefactor. He's perverting the nation. He's boasted to pay tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. In John 19, verse 15, the Bible says, "But then they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have not king, no king but Caesar." They're looking at Pilate, these Jews, and they're basically, it should have been an alarm here for Pilate because he knows that these Jews at any opportunity would love to overthrow the Roman government. These Jewish rulers would love to get rid of the governor, the Roman governor, and to have their own rule and to have their own undictated court system where they could try their own people, but they couldn't. They had to go to the Roman rule. So they would love to get rid of the Roman government, and Pilate knew that. And so as they present Jesus Christ with no accusation, now they begin to attack Pilate and said, "We have no king but Caesar. And you Pilate, who is your king? If Caesar was your king, you would humble yourself. If Caesar was your king, you would listen to what we do. This man claims to be a king. He's opposing himself to Caesar, and you, Pilate, are not doing anything about it. He goes on in verse 31 and says, "Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law." You see, Pilate doesn't want to have anything to do with it. He sees himself now that this is a false trial. Pilate did not buy their claim. These Jews would not hesitate again to overthrow the Roman rule in their country if opportunity presented itself. Pilate wanted to be dismissed from participating in this evident fabricated case against Jesus. He said, "Don't judge him according to your law." Now, we know that in the plan of God, that the plan of God was for Jesus' hands and feet to be pierced, according to Psalm 22. If Jesus was tried according to the Jewish law, he would be stoned to death. But that's not how prophecy goes. And so here, this revolt, Pilate doesn't want anything to do with it. I find it interesting because this is really a fulfillment of prophecy. They say, this is their reply, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. If we go back to, remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery and they brought her before Jesus, she ought to be stoned. That was the law. And they're saying now that they can't put any man to death. They've done that plenty of times. This is a prophecy. Genesis 49 verse 10. As Jacob was talking about prophecy, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." In other words, there was no grounds for them to put Jesus to death. Therefore, they wanted Pilate, who was a Gentile, to inflict the death sentence upon him. This prophecy said that Shiloh would not come until the scepter would depart from Judah. The scepter has the idea of rule, of passing judgment. Shiloh would not come, the Messiah would not come, until the scepter was departed from Judah. The heads of Israel here admitted that they were no longer the rulers of their own nation, but were under the dominion of a foreign power. He that has the right to condemn a prisoner to death is the governor of a country. They said it is not lawful. They said you, the Roman governor, alone can do it. But by their consent, they no longer had a law administrator of their own stock. Therefore, the scepter had departed out of Judah. And this was proof that Shiloh was here, that the Messiah had come. They were totally unaware in their own discourse with Pilate that they were actually fulfilling prophecy. That the scepter out of Judah had departed. And that would mean that Shiloh is here. Messiah. So we see here, in this question for the Jews, what accusation? We see the hypocrisy of the Jews, but secondly, we see the hand of God. Verse 32 tells us, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Now think about this here. We know that the Bible declares in Matthew 20:19 that Jesus Christ shall deliver unto him the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. That was the plan. In John chapter 3, verse 14, Jesus Himself says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This He said, signifying what death He should die. So we see here, we see in this question to the Jews, He said, what is the accusation? We see the hypocrisy of the Jews, but we also see the hand of God. Because they were unaware of themselves that they were fulfilling prophecy. And here, the Bible tells us, just shows us here, that this happened, this whole thing happened, that Jesus, the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled. Which He spake, signifying the type of death that He should die. You see, Jesus Christ would not die being stoned to death. He would die being lifted up above the earth. He would be crucified. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Jesus Christ would also be lifted up above the earth. So that He, by His death, could draw all men to Himself.
So to answer the question, what is the accusation? There is none. And in this passage, do you see any accusation? There's nothing. Therefore, we see the hypocrisy of the Jews and the hand of God. So not only do we see the question for the Jews, but we see a question for Jesus. The Jews could not answer as to what the accusation was. But now Pilate turns to Jesus in verse 33, and Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Think about the first thing he asked Jesus, Art thou the King of the Jews? Now, this question would attract controversy between Pilate and Jesus. I believe that this question is kind of a perplexing moment for Pilate. Because he's done nothing wrong. There is obviously no accusation. But yet he knows that a few days ago, the Israelites were shouting, Hosanna, the Messiah has come. There was much attention that was drawn to Jesus. So there's confusion here. In other words, he's basically saying, you're attracting the multitudes, but their leaders hate you. You have power to heal, but have no place where to lay your head. You are able to raise the dead, but you stand bound before me. Are you the King of the Jews? Are you this king that has power to heal, who the multitudes flock to, who can raise the dead? What a perplexing moment for Pilate to have no proof of wickedness on the part of Jesus, yet drawn such rejection from the Jewish leaders. A man thought of as a king of the Jews, yet of humble character and action. It doesn't make sense to a Roman ruler. Because someone that condemns, that has power, that is a king, throws his weight around and gives out orders. He's not meek and lowly and humble. As Pilate said, what accusation do you have against him? Jesus said nothing. Did not defend himself. It simply exposed the hypocrisy of the Jews and the hand of God in all of this. And now he turns to Jesus and with this perplexing question, are you the King of the Jews? I don't understand. You've done so much good, but you're so hated. Pilate himself is confused with the whole matter. Verse 34, Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? In other words, there was no simple way to answer this question with either a yes or no. You know, Pilate was speaking in the sense of being opposed to the Roman emperor. Are you the King of the Jews? Because right now you're under our rule. So this question really is kind of almost a trap. Jesus would be speaking in the sense of being the anointed, the King, the Lion from the tribe of Judah. So if Christ answered yes, then Pilate would take that as an opposition to Caesar. But if Christ answered no, he would be not denying his own rightful position. So his reply was simple. Does this question come from you, or did someone make that accusation of me? And we know that this did not come from Pilate. This is something that they fed to him. Jesus had taught the people many times. Remember what he says? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. It was clear. He did not oppose the Roman government. You remember when the people wanted to take him by force to make him the king? We studied that in John. He withdrew himself unto a mountain alone. Why? Because he didn't want to be taken to be the next king. Jesus Christ had done actually the opposite of what the Jews actually wanted. And that was the king. They throw Jesus under the bus because they wanted a king. They wanted deliverance from the Roman oppression. And they were willing to place Jesus there. But when Jesus was not willing to be the king, they go ahead and they accuse him of being the king so that he could be tried by the Roman emperor, by the Roman governor. Human nature. He goes on to say in verse 35, Pilate answered, I am a Jew. Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Now finally comes the honest question. Now, are you the King of the Jews? But what hast thou done? That's a good question. According to the accusation, there was nothing that he's done. We know that they had to bring two, after trying really hard, they had to bring two false witnesses against Christ, because that's what the law required. You couldn't just have one, you had to have two. And so they basically fed those two false witnesses answers on what Jesus Christ says, that this is what you're going to say, and leave this out. One of the accusations was said, well, he said that he would destroy the temple and then 3 days he would rebuild it. That was the accusation. So what did Jesus do? Notice verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." I want you to know this. Jesus Christ did not say that His kingdom is not of this world. He did not say that His kingdom is not in this world. He said it is not of this world. You know, believers are not of the world, but we are in the world. We are not with the world, but we're in the world. Last sentence here, now my kingdom is not from hence. The kingdom of Christ, in other words, would not be patterned after the kingdoms of the world. There would be no violence in His kingdom. There is no injustice in His kingdom. There is no suffering in His kingdom. You see here, Jesus Christ here, and says, look, I am not a threat to you. He says, look, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. And then we say, whoa, stop. Peter fought. Yes, but see, that charge cannot be brought. Because if they have to investigate that charge, they would find out that Jesus healed the man. And that would not be good in court. Well, one of his disciples took out a sword and cut a man's ear off. He was aiming for the head. Well, what happened next? Well, Jesus placed his hand and put the ear back on. Okay. You see, that's what Jesus did. And so here Jesus Christ said, look, this is totally different, Pilate. You need to understand something, that my kingdom is not of this world. It's not like this world. It doesn't come from this world. It is not like this world. It is not patterned after this world. This world functions with power, with might, and with the physical. But my kingdom is totally different. My kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. My kingdom is a kingdom of justice, of honesty, of truth. That's what my kingdom is. My kingdom is not of this world. It is not from hence. And look, they have falsely accused me. They claim that I've done those things. And you know that there's no accusation against me. I'm telling you here, I am not here to overthrow the Roman government. I am here. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should be delivered to the Jews. Not delivered to the Jews. And notice what Pilate's reply is. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Because he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So Jesus Christ here, after Pilate says, "Well, are you a king? If you're king, if you have a kingdom, but it's not of this world, it's not from hence, are you then a king?" And Jesus said, "Well, you say I am." But then he says something very important. He says, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." What was the truth? All of the Old Testament is about one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ throughout the pages of the Old Testament, manifested all over. Jesus Christ is revealed. The nation of Israel were expecting a Messiah. a deliverer. But some way, somehow, this was twisted into thinking that this would be a physical deliverance instead of a spiritual deliverance. They were thinking now in terms of the captivities and being delivered from a outside oppression instead of being delivered from their own sin. They had forgotten all about the reason why they did the sacrifices and the reason why they performed those sacrifices, because that was a picture of the coming Messiah. And Jesus Christ said, look, I was born to this end. This is my purpose. My kingdom is not of this world. It does not originate from this world. It originates from heaven. It comes from a place that is not like this world. And I want you to know that this is for this cause that I was born. This is the purpose, the reason why I was born, that I should bear witness unto the truth. The Jews have the truth in their hands, but they've rejected that truth. One of the perfect illustrations of that. You remember when Jesus Christ was born? And there was a star that appeared, and then there was wise men that came from the east. The Bible doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. They brought three gifts. They brought gold, myrrh, and frankincense. And all of those picture Jesus Christ. The gold pictured Jesus Christ as the king. The frankincense pictured Jesus Christ as the priest. And the myrrh pictured Jesus Christ as the one who would shed His blood for our sins. And I'm thinking here, when Jesus Christ comes in this world and was born in this world, it took people from the east, people outside of Israel, to know the prophecies of God, to travel over 2 years to come to the place where they would find the Messiah that was prophesied in the Scriptures. And the own people, His own people, the own people who claimed to hold the Word of God, the preserved Word of God, and to know the prophecies, and to study the Old Testament, and to know all about the Word of God, missed it right before their eyes. He was born right in the midst of them. And it took somebody from the outside to see that. So this is why I was born. To be a witness of the truth. The time was prophesied. The location was prophesied. The angels were there to announce His coming. The shepherd witnessed it. The wise men brought the gifts. There is even the death of the children was prophesied. All those things, and there are many others. He was here. To this purpose He was born. This right now, where He's now at, as He's standing there, He says, this is the purpose of Me being born, is to bear witness of the truth. Now, this must have been a perplexing moment for Pilate, because he's thinking here, he's making headway in the conversation, and he says, everyone that is of the truth heareth My voice. So Pilate says, what is truth? Now, the Bible says he said that and then departed. So I don't think it was a question of saying, well, what is truth? I think it was more of, what is truth? There's no such thing as truth. These people have falsely accused. They brought you here without a trial, with a false trial. And then I find no fault in you. What is truth? There is no truth in this world. And Jesus Christ was sitting there and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. I am here, Pilate, standing before you, bearing witness to the truth. So we see a question for the Jews, a question for Jesus. What hast thou done? What did Jesus do? He came to bear witness of the truth. What did He do? Nothing. Why did He come? To bear witness of the truth. So the last question is, what is truth? Out of frustration, no doubt, out of perhaps making fun of Jesus Christ, says, there is no truth in this world. Look at you. Verse 33 tells us we see a question, not only for the Jews, a question for Jesus, but here we see a question for Pilate. This is a question to himself. What is truth? In frustration, and he leaves the courtroom where Jesus Christ is standing as an innocent man and says, what is truth? Verse 38 says, and when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in Him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Now this was normal, apparently, at the Passover. The Roman governor would allow them to release a prisoner, whoever they wanted. And so here Pilate suggests, because he knows that there's no fault in this man, he's find no reason for him to be put to death, although the Jews have accused him. And he says, look, how about, I know you have this custom, and how about I find no fault in him at all. There's nothing absolute that I find in him that is worthy of death. But because the Passover is about to come, it is the custom, and I release to you every year, once a year, someone that is a malefactor. My suggestion to you is, you want me to release Jesus? Because I find no fault in him. Notice what the Bible says. Then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. It's interesting how this chapter ends, isn't it? Pilate says, there's no fault in this man. He's done nothing wrong. And this is the one time a year where you can release. And I just suggest to you that we release Jesus. And they say, no. Don't release Jesus. Release Barabbas. And it ends. And the Bible, just John, opens up and says, now Barabbas was a robber. We don't know much about Barabbas, but we know this. Luke chapter 23, verse 19, the Bible says that he committed sedition in the city and murder. Mark chapter 15, verse 7 says he had committed murder in the insurrection. John chapter 18, verse 40 tells us right here, now Barabbas was a robber. Jesus Christ had just said, for this purpose came I into the world, that I would be your witness of the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that Messiah would come, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, what was the story? The story is they were all, because of their wickedness and idolatry, God sent serpents to bite them, and they were poisoned, and therefore they were going to die. And then God says, Moses, you place a serpent, a brazen serpent, you put him in front where everybody can see him, and if anybody looks to the serpent, then they will be healed. If anybody refuses to look to the serpent, they will die in their curse. And Jesus Christ says, I am that truth. You see, all men are standing before me as guilty sinners, and I'm coming here to bear witness of the truth. There is no accusation. My kingdom is not of this world. I came in this world because of the purpose is to bear witness of the truth. The truth that when I come, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, will take away the sin of the world. And here at the end of this chapter, we have a perfect picture of why Jesus Christ came, who was a man here, and the question, who had no accusation, who were questioned, he says, well, what have you done? He's done nothing. He came to bear witness of the truth. And now we have this question, what is truth? This is the truth, Pilate. The truth, Pilate, is Barabbas, who's a murderer, who is a man that committed insurrection, who is a man that committed sedition, who is a man that's a robber, a murderer, a vile and a wicked man. He can now go free because someone has taken his place. And the person that's taken his place is an innocent man whose accusation has been brought have been false, who is a man that can be found with no fault. And right here for us, we have a man, Barabbas, who stands as guilty before a holy God, before a society that wants to crucify Jesus. He stands there guilty, and Jesus Christ is sitting there as an innocent man who is going to be tried and crucified while a murderer goes free. That's why Jesus came. That's why He came. If we ask these questions to the Jews, if they brought Barabbas, Pilate would say, what is the accusation? Insurrection, sedition, murder, robber. Pilate would go to Barabbas and say, Barabbas, what have you done? Murderer, I'm a robber, committed sedition, insurrection. Barabbas, what is truth? The truth is I deserve to die. But that's not Barabbas in there. That's Jesus. And the question is asked, what's the accusation, Jesus? There is none. What have you done? Fulfill truth. What is truth? The truth is I came here to replace Barabbas. Just as I came to take the place of every man. In this chapter, all those questions, among all those things, an innocent man die and a murderer goes free. So this morning, what do we have here? We have a righteous for a robber. And I stand before you this morning saying that Jesus is a righteous for a robber. You see, this passage, as we look at these questions, we cannot help but think the reason why Jesus came. All of this, we see, yes, the hypocrisy of the Jews, but we see the hand of God. What we have to understand this morning is Barabbas is me this morning, and Barabbas is you. We all stand guilty before a holy God. Jesus Christ, who lived his life for 33 and a half years, never did anything wrong, never sinned, never spoke a vile word, never had a wicked thought, died for the murderer, the robber, those that live vile and wicked lives. That's who he came to save. That's who he came to replace. And here at the end, John just puts us to us. They wanted Barabbas and Jesus to die. And he wants us to know that Barabbas was a robber. And yet they could find nothing with Jesus Christ. His record can become our record if we repent of our sins and trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Can you imagine Barabbas? I mean, maybe putting ourselves in his shoes. You killed somebody. You robbed. You tried to overthrow some system or government, perhaps the Roman government at that time. So it was rightfully in prison. He walks away. He's now roaming the streets. He's now left to himself and thinking, I'm free. And yet he hears the crowd jeering and shouting behind him, crucify this man. Crucify him. Crucify him. Put him to death. Release Barabbas. And as Jesus Christ is spat upon and scourged and carries a cross up to Mount Golgotha, and all the crowd are standing gathered around, and Barabbas is standing there at a distance, thinking, that should have been me. That should have been me. And as we see this, we can say ourselves, that should have been me. But as Barabbas, we can go free because Jesus Christ has taken our place. Let's be thankful this morning for what we see here. What accusation? What have you done? What is truth? Jesus is the truth.